time for the High School Report, covering all the local sports action in the community on Aggie Nation, powered by the Eagle.
Very appropriate, because I think defense could decide the crosstown showdown tonight. Larry Bowen is here. What do you think, man?
I was just thinking that in last year's game, in which a total of 100 points were scored, 56 to 44, there wasn't a lot of defense.
Yeah. But that interception by Cal Malone, who will be playing in tonight's game, was probably the turnaround game. But there was an enormous amount of offense before Cal got to that interception.
Right. I think you're right, David. I think defense is going to have a lot to say tonight, actually for both teams. And I tried to touch on that a little bit in the preview story. And obviously, I haven't got to see the Vikings, but I've listened to some of your broadcasts. I've talked to you about the team. And it appears to me, and I think you and I are in agreement on this, that both teams last week got exactly what they needed. Brian had a really good night offensively, running the ball, and Consolidated had by far its best defensive effort. Now, those games were against Huntsville and against Willis, two teams that are basically considered in the middle of the pack in the district. So you don't know exactly what it means, but I do think it's interesting that both teams did those things that you would want to do going into this game. Consolidated would have wanted to shore up the defense and feel good about its defense. Brian certainly would have wanted to get the running game going, particularly because they've had success with that in the past against Consolidated. So I think that is just an interesting backdrop, what the two teams did last week. I feel like, having covered Consolidated, I think they are better defensively than what you have seen in the past couple of years, primarily because they haven't been hit by as many big plays. Yeah. You remember last year...
You're still not predicting a 14-12 game.
No. Yeah. But you remember last year, even in the Crosstown Showdown, the thing that happened with them is they had been giving up big plays all year to guys who are those 4-4-4, you know, kind of guys who were, you know, the quarterback from Elkins that gave them such fits. Mm-hmm. Is, you know, went to Tech to be a receiver, you know, that kind of an athlete. But it was different last year because Kiki Johnson was a special player. He was making big plays, even though he was, you know, a big guy. A lot of people over at Tigerland Stadium last year were reminded of Cliff Gross when they saw Kiki, and even down to the number 33.
Yeah, we even had photos of how much they looked alike, right?
But they made big plays, even though Kiki is not a little scat back type. So the big plays have been problematic.
He's a huge scat back.
Yes, absolutely.
Right.
But those have been problems, and they have cut down on those this year. I would think, looking at the numbers and everything, you got to figure, is Consol's run defense going to be able to hold up? Because I know that David Raffield really respects both the offensive and defensive lines for Brian. He really feels like Brian has the best defensive line in the district. But the offensive line came together some last week. Ross Rogers told me that when I talked to him yesterday. You've obviously watched the games and seen that.
Well, they've been shuffling.
He said they had been moving people for weeks, and he said he really felt like they kind of got it together last week. And
I think their key of their offensive line is Colton Campbell, the sophomore, has come out there, and he's moved in to fill in for Cecil Banks, who was lost to a knee injury in the second game of the season. And then with him in there, they've kind of been able to kind of get the other guys, find the right spots for everybody else. And they're not going to move Jared Spivey. This guy's a tremendous center. But the other guys were interchangeable parts for a while. Junior Guerrero missed for a week. But they were really happy with what they did last week. But that's 1 week. We'll see.
Well, in Consolidated's part of Consolidated's improvement, I think a big part of it is I'm anxious to see or eager to hear what you say after you see the game tonight. Colby Peel is just a sophomore. Kid's playing safety for them.
But you guys were impressed with him from the first time he took the field.
But But he's a playmaker. He had a huge night last week in Willis, and obviously that cuts down on the big plays when you have a mistake eraser back there. But the thing that has probably helped him is the young man that I wrote the feature about this week, Jaden Drysdale. He's good size, 6'2", 265, and he's been making some plays. Before the season, David Raphael said, you know, they really thought he was going to be a big-time player. So he helps him having a guy on the nose, having a guy up front that can play.
That ought to be fun to see him and Spivey going against each other. Yeah.
Absolutely. I think that's a good matchup. Now, you mentioned the changes that Brian has had to make because of the injuries. We want to go ahead and talk about this in case people – I can't imagine that they wouldn't have read our preview story in the paper today, but in case they didn't, I think it's really significant that Tyree Merchant – A&M Consolidated senior running back, still the leading rusher on that team, and I think third or fourth in the district, even though he's basically missed parts of two games and all of last week, and he's still at that position. Now, granted, there's nobody like Kiki Johnson this year. The rushing totals in the district are down overall. Nobody has a lot, but he's big threat. He ran for over 200 yards last year against Bryan and led them in the comeback. And he's not playing.
And got the edge quite often. Right. He really did a good job.
And he's Robert Franklin, the young man, is a
He had a great game last year.
He ran for 105 yards on 15 carries, ran very well, ran tough, and ran hard. He's not the breakaway threat that Merchant is. Merchant has more of a wiggle and more speed. So I think that plays in a little bit as well. And the thing that I think the X factor for Consolidated is Mason Hickson, the senior quarterback, little lefty. He's a good athlete, and he's had a tendency to be very, very good at stretches and then struggle sometimes. When he's on, they have a deep receiving core. You know, they don't have Kerry Thomas or Derek Dick or somebody like that.
Daniel Sibney.
Yeah, but they have good guys. Cade Williams, Keenan Williams, Tony Williams. If you're not Williams, you can hardly play. Rodney Jernigan.
Kind of like the Johnsons for a long time.
Rodney Jernigan caught the 61-yard touchdown pass with 2 minutes left that beat Huntsville. And He has some weapons.
Jernigan also had a touchdown catch last week,
right,
too, didn't he?
Yes, he did. So he has some weapons. And I think if Mason is on target, they feel like, and I'm not trying to offend anybody at Bryan or any other school, and I'm sure a lot of teams feel like this, but the guys at Consol, Brian Cope and David Raphael and all those guys, they feel like if they just execute their stuff, they're going to move the ball and they're going to score. You know, they do a good job of spreading the field. I think Merchant not being in there takes away a little bit of that spreading the field. But I talked to Ross Rogers yesterday. He said Consol is going to do basically their goal, their approach is the same thing that Brian's approach is, which is going to stretch you 53 yards one way and 100 yards the other way. You're going to make you spread out and try to make plays. I think not having Merchant is a factor, and I think that makes the accuracy that Mason Hickson has tonight in his passing, I think that makes that even a bigger factor.
And we'll see two good running quarterbacks, too. Hickson's run the ball really well.
Right.
B.J. Ross is an excellent running quarterback as well. That gets a lot of what Brian does going.
And David Raphael said very clearly that B.J. Ross – he just considers B.J. Ross the leader of that offense, and he said if you don't contain him and don't – if you let him get loose and do things, you'll be in for a long night. I think, David, I did not see what score you picked today, but I will say this. I think you and I both agree it has the possibility of being an exciting, competitive game. It would not surprise me at all if it was a 30-27 game or a 30-28 game or 27-24, I don't think
nothing would surprise me about that game.
Yeah.
It could be insanely high scoring.
Yeah.
They could hold it down a little bit. I just don't know.
I think they could be – I think they are pretty close. If you look at what they've done, I don't know. I just think we're going to be in for a fun night of football.
All right, the couple of other local teams playing tonight. Homecoming for College Station. Obviously, they played really well against Rutter last week, and I just can't imagine Livingston's coming in here. David Caddy's an excellent running back, but I don't see them doing anything against that College Station defense. And I think the Cougars can run up some big offense as well.
Ryan, I talked to Steve Huff yesterday, and he's, you know how the coaches are. We're playing every Friday night for a championship, and that's the approach, but that approach has worked. And the thing to watch, David, is any team that would want to have upset hopes against them, it's like it's like in the baseball playoffs, like your Rangers or my Astros. You know, you get an early lead, and it makes everything better. It just makes life better. Well, you know what? The game I went over to cover in Elgin, College Station was leading 27-0, not even 6 minutes into the game. They scored 35 points in the first quarter last week against Rutter. So I told Coach Huff, whatever he's telling him, he needs to record that pregame message and keep playing it, because Lord have mercy, those guys are coming out of the gate smoking, and I would be really shocked if they didn't do it. You know, if there's any tendency to overlook Livingston, which they haven't shown that they're the type of team to overlook people, if there is any, I think homecoming and a big crowd and all those things probably work in their favor.
All right, the other game is a Rutter on the road at Willis. You saw Willis last week. It's a really important game, I think, for Rutter for snapback reasons after that season, because they were doing some really positive things going into that College Station game. And for Willis, they can't start 0-3 and make the playoffs, I don't think.
Yeah, I don't know what to think about Willis, David. I just didn't think they played well against Consolidated last week. I expected a lot more out of Willis coming off losing their district opener and coming back home. I just thought Willis would do more. They are athletic. David Raphael told me that he felt like the Willis offensive line was the best offensive line they'd seen all year. Well, when I talked to Dale Williams, the defensive coordinator, he mentioned how good the Richmond Foster offensive line was, and Fort Bend Elkins had a good offensive line, but they all agreed that Willis has a very good athletic offensive line. And then how do you juxtapose that with the fact that Consolidated played its best defensive game of the year? I just didn't think Willis had that spark. And I think you felt the same way about Huntsville last week against Bryan. And I know that when you talk to the coaches, and sometimes they'll say, well, this team, they gave us their best shot, and the next week they didn't quite have it in them. So you're right. Well, Willis can't afford to go 0-3.
And just because of who they played, it's critical for Rutter too, I think.
Right. Oh yeah. And I'd like to see Rutter bounce back, because I do feel like Will Compton and those guys have got it headed in the right direction. And I think we were both shocked that College Station won so convincingly last week.
I like to ask the tough questions. I went out to Will Compton the other day and I said, what happened? And I thought that was a decent question, but he actually gave me a reasonable answer.
Okay.
All right, one more game I want to talk about. There are actually several good games. A lot of people are opening district tonight. You wrote about Centerville and Lovelady earlier in the week, and that's 0-5 against 5-0 in a really good game. But it's also the Battle of the Bell tonight.
Yeah.
Cameron and Rockdale are playing tonight in Rockdale. Those two teams played twice last year. Rockdale won in the regular season, and in the quarterfinals, Cameron won. They went on to win the championship. There's so many elements that come into that game, but I think it's a hard game to call. I think the experience is clearly there for the Yeoman, but what a great game, and what a great tradition to have that Battle of the Bell. By the way, despite that quarterfinal game, Rockdale didn't give up the bell. They still got it.
I was going to ask if there is an expiration date on that bell. I would think this year, I mean, no offense to either of those teams, I'd say it would be very unlikely that they would both reach a quarterfinal round again this year and play each other.
I'm not ruling it out.
It's not impossible, but it's certainly less likely than it was last year. But I hope they have something on paper, you know, with a notary public saying – whoever wins the regular season game keeps the bell, or if there's a rematch in the playoffs, the bell's back up for grabs. We can't have that just dangling out there, David. I don't know. You can make the call, but somebody's got to make a decision.
You know, part of this was the problem of the way Georgetown set it up last year, but when I was over covering that game in the quarterfinals in Georgetown last year, I don't know that I've ever been to a high school game quite like that, because everybody was coming in on that single-file road. It looked like Field of Dreams, people coming in here. I know Rick Rhodes, the Cameron coach, told me his wife didn't arrive for the game until the second quarter of that game. That's how backed up traffic was. So I'm thinking you might want to, if you're headed to Rockdale tonight, arrive early.
Okay, there you go. As we finish up, what do you tell me? Give me a key. Give me a pick. Whatever you want to say about Crosstown Showdown tonight.
I'm as baffled as anybody. You wrote the story. I think it's going to be a good game. I think, Brian.
I noticed you said you think it's going to be a good game. You didn't think my story was good.
Your story was good too, but I do think that it's going to be a tremendously close game. I've been wrong about that before. I've never been very good at picking this game. A lot of times I've gotten it wrong over the years. I picked Bryan to win in a close game, and I based a lot of that over the fact that I thought they were going to have fits over at Huntsville, and they didn't. They played extremely well.
The last thing is, what about just going to the game and calling in on the radio and then getting in your car and driving home? You don't have to write a story tonight.
That is the way my life should work for the rest of eternity. But you're going to be doing a story tonight, and we'll read
about it tomorrow.
We'll check it out, and you will hit on those key points, every one of them, I'm sure.
Not likely.
That's the goal, at least. Larry, thanks. We'll see you at the game tonight. I was actually over there earlier today. The TV folks are setting up.
I bet I'll be out in the bleachers.
You can come in there with us, and as long as you sit in the back. All right, Aggie Nation powered by the Eagle. That's the High School Report, which is brought to you by Kelly Burt Dozier. And you can call Kelly Burt Dozier at 778-1902, proudly supporting the youth of our community. And we'll be back to find out what's coming up in the Eagle this weekend when we return after this.